Welcome to Breaking the Underdog Curse for Chiropractors. Hosted by Dr. Don McDonald, author of the best-selling book, The Underdog Curse. We give vitalistic chiropractors a chance to learn from the best around the world, discovering how they overcame their challenges and achieved success. In order for chiropractic to thrive, we must have thriving chiropractors.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Now listen up. It's time to crush the curse.
Are you a people pleaser? I know I sure am. And when you mix that with being a chiropractor, it can create a lot of trauma. I know firsthand. It can wear away at your health, your relationships, and your practice. I term this the underdog curse, and I've spent the last 15 years coming up with a solution. My book, The Underdog Curse, was written to help others live a more authentic life. This is very challenging if you're externally influenced. When you take an externally influenced person and have them try to spread the message of chiropractic, it can be very challenging. If you'd like to get back to who you really are, regain your health, strengthen your relationships, and increase your worthiness, please visit Amazon.com and pick up your copy of The Underdog Curse today. Remember, if we take the time to nurture ourselves, we are much stronger at serving others. For chiropractic to thrive, we must have thriving chiropractors.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Breaking the Underdog Curse. This is Dr. Don McDonald, your host. And today I am tickled pink because I get to interview my very first coach who just happens to now be the president of Life West. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
Hi, Don. Great to be here.
This is so exciting because I think I'm up to episode 56 now, and we've been always talking about like mentorship and getting a coach and maximizing your practice. And I've had several of my guests reference you as their coach. You've been one of my coaches. And so this is a pleasure for me to be able to share my mentor with all the listeners that we have from all around the world. So I'm pumped that you're on the podcast.
Well, I am too. So I know we talked about this a while back and we finally got it together, and I'm thrilled to be here.
That's great. And I want to thank you for taking some time out because you happen to have a wedding coming up right away. And I know you're squeezing me in between putting the tents up and being up in the mountains and all that kind of stuff. So I appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Mary and I and my family. In fact, I got to go pick up the rest of my family today. My daughters, other two daughters are flying in with their families. And we've got a big wedding going on up here at our place in Montana. We got some beautiful acreage and just a lovely place. We got my youngest daughter, Sydney. You know Sydney. You knew her when she was like 5 years old, I think. You know,
I know. I think she was running around one of those seminars down.
Exactly. So she's getting married to a classmate of hers. She brought the chiropractic school. She met him in undergraduate college, and they're practicing in San Diego now. And Mary and my practice, and we're going to transition the practice to them. And so it's really cool. We've come full circle with that. It's just great.
That's pretty cool. So what we're going to do is we're going to go from Dr. Ron Oberstein being the president of Life West, but we're going to actually take him right back to the very beginning. So how did you even get into this crazy profession in the first place?
You know, it was really innate. It was just one of these things. I was playing basketball in Europe, and I just didn't know what I wanted to do. But, you know, I love basketball. So I was playing basketball in Europe, and then I finished the season in France, and I went over to Israel just to kind of just chill out and hang out. And then some guy told me, hey, you got to go play for my team. And I said, no, I'm rusty. And he goes, just go play. If you don't like it, then I'll get you to a different place, anywhere you want to go in Israel. And I said, okay. So I went and I played and I got hurt, ripped up my ankle. I was supposed to have surgery. There was incoming wounded that took the place. There was wars going on in the Golan Heights in those days. And so I finally ended up just leaving. You know, they casted me. I ended up leaving and I went, and they took off the cast because it broke a bunch of times. I went to Greece and my leg kept locking up on me, my ankle. So I go home and I'm on my mom's couch. I'm waiting to go see an orthopedic surgeon about getting surgery. And a buddy of mine from high school, his older brother, calls me up. I know Mark. His name is Mark Schechter. I've known Mark, you know, I knew him most of my life, but we didn't hang out. He was like 4 or 5 years older than me. And he said, Ron, what are you doing? I said, I'm just hanging on my mom's couch. I'm waiting to go see a surgeon. He goes, can I come over? I go, yeah. He was in the second class that started at Life College.
Oh, really?
Yeah, back in like 1975, what, 74, 75. So he comes over and he just tells me the whole chiropractic story. He says, man, it's not about, you know, sickness and disease. It's about optimal health and getting people to their innate potential and yada, yada, yada. He filled my head. Meanwhile, I've been seeing a chiropractor since I was 13 years old.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I went for sports injuries, and I told my mom, you know, I feel so good from this. You know, I just want to keep going. So I was just going weekly, you know. But he never told me about chiropractic as a profession. I go there. I get adjusted and I'd leave, you know, on the way home from school. And he filled my word. I had this tune in my head, Don, yeah, of what I wanted to do, you know, and I knew I wanted to help people. I thought maybe I'd go into social work or something like that. But meanwhile, I'd stopped eating. I became a vegetarian at 15 years old for no reason. I mean, nothing about animals. I just
tried out.
Wasn't going to do it. Yeah. And I stopped taking medication, you know, and all this other stuff, you know, and it was just like this thing. And all of a sudden these words hit me and I went, oh my God, that is it. So I went to the library. There's no internet. You know, I went to the library, one book, chiropractic, just one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I went, oh my God. And I started reading it and that was it. And I just said, that's what I'm going to be. And that was it, you know?
Boom. And so where were you living at the time?
I was in Detroit. Yep. And I went in the book, looked at schools, and there was a school. He didn't tell me where to go. He didn't tell me about, you know, different schools having different philosophies. And so I saw Portland, Oregon. Oh my gosh. Oh. You know, what a great place, you know. And
yeah.
Bill Walton was winning championships in those days. And I was a basketball player. I said, I'm going to go to Portland. Man, what a cool place.
Yeah.
So I drove up to Portland and I go, oh, this is great. You know, and you know, a couple quarters later, it just wasn't what I wanted. And I had a brother who was at Northwestern. So I get this phone. So he leaves. Mark leaves my house.
Yeah.
And I get on the phone. And I call my second brother up, and he's at University of Michigan finishing a business degree. And I said, Bruce, I got to tell you something. He goes, what? I got to tell you something. I go, no, let me just tell you this. He goes, well, let me tell you first. You know, I'm older, kind of deal. I go, what? He says, I'm going to be a chiropractor.
No way.
I swear to God, I looked around the room thinking if there was like Nest or something back then, I would have believed that he was listening in, you know? And I said, dude, that's why I called you, man. Anyways, he went to Northwestern. I went to Western States. And I called him up. I said, Bruce, what's going on? And he said, I'm not happy here. You know, it's just not the right school for me personally. Just philosophically, I want to have, you know, more philosophy. He said, oh, well, come on over here. It's great. You know, so I went over there and I was just kind of lost for 6 weeks. It wasn't what he said. And the beautiful, the dean of the college, or maybe, I don't know what she was, but Grace Jacobs, she was a wonderful lady, came up to me and said, Ron, you're such a good guy. She handed me a check with an envelope with a check in it for a full refund and said, I know this isn't the right place for you. Go find where you have to be. You're a fine young man. I looked at her, I said, thank you. And I ended up at Life College down in Georgia. And it was history after that. Yeah. So
that's cool.
That was my journey, man. I kind of went to two other schools, found my way down. So now when I have students at the college, they transfer, they've been there a few, I can tell them, hey, it's cool. Yeah, you know,
you
yeah, you're not the only one, you know, I'm with you, you know.
That's awesome. And so how was your time at Life? How did that go for you?
It was great. It was awesome. And, you know, Dr. Williams, you know, just being in the presence of Dr. Sid Williams and at the school, when I got there were about 700 students. And by the time I left, there was about 900. And, it was really cool, man. Back in those days, you know, we're talking about, you know, 79, 80, 81. It was, you know, it was just full on chiropractic and the philosophy was great. And, you know, it was just, you know, I got out, I was so excited to just spread chiropractic around the world, you know, it was just amazing.
That's cool. Yeah. So how did you get to San Diego?
So I went to Boston. I graduated and I was between Boston and Seattle, you know, Boston and Seattle, two polar sides of the country,
yeah,
you know, North America and in US. But I went to Seattle because Tacoma actually, because one of my mentors was there, Brian Long. I was doing Pettibon work at the time. That's what I got into when I was in school. They didn't teach at the school, but I went to seminars and that's kind of what I loved. And I was also involved in Renaissance, and that was like, you know, Joe Felicia and Guy Riekman at the time. Right. So,
yeah.
So anyways, I went out to Brian Long's office. I had worked for him for the winter before I graduated. And I went out there and it just didn't feel right. You know, it was like, you know, rained for 31 days. I wasn't used to that. You know, it was November, you know, and Brian said to me, I said, I don't know if this is the right place. He said, just go to the mountains and meditate. I went to the mountains and meditate. It just came to me, I'm going to go back to the East Coast. And so I just came back and told them that I went to Boston. I set up my practice there. I was there for about 3.5 years, 4 years. I had an associate doctor, did really, really well there. My associate wanted to buy me out, and I was getting tired of the winters, and I just knew I wanted to get the warm weather. So I sold them the practice. I flew out to San Diego. I drove from LA to San Diego. I checked every nook and cranny out, just decided San Diego's where I wanted to be. And I took a year off. You know, I knew I was going there. I took a year off, shipped all my stuff there, and I traveled around the world. I bought a one-way ticket around the world. It could go, it cost like $1,000 back in 1985. And go as many flights as you want. Didn't matter as long as you kept going in the same direction. That was it. You know, and I had, it was TWA back in that, those days. They're gone now, and Qantas. And I went to Australia, and I just took chiropractic everywhere, you know, and I just, everywhere I went, I was, you know, kind of did like BJ's around the world kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
I read, you know, around the world BJ, and I just did that, you know, and I came back to San Diego and started there, and we still have the practice there. It's 36 years later, I think, something like that.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So when you started practice, because I just wanted to skip back a little bit to school. So when you're in school, you must have taken a bunch of extra stuff then. If you're doing Pettibond, were you involved in Renaissance when you're in school?
Yeah, I was. So I went to a Renaissance seminar. I don't know where the first one was. It might have been in Detroit. During a break that I had from when I was transferring.
Yeah.
And I had some time off, and it was like, oh man, this is great. I mean, they just, once again, the words to the tune in my head about what chiropractic is, you know, it wasn't about sickness and disease. It was about optimal potential and creating a better world and, you know, the predicament of the species and, you know, what was going on and how subluxation affected that, you know, affected us physically, chemically, emotionally, you know, the whole gamut. And so I fell in love with it. And then we ended up bringing a Joe and Guy to Life College, and they it was crazy, man. We brought them over for an evening. They were doing a Renaissance there. We brought them over for an evening just for the students.
Yeah.
They showed the slides from the very first video that they did with Peter Graves, right? And this was big stuff back in the late 70s, early 80s. And we sold it out. They were scalping tickets at the college for this event. You know, Stuart Hoffman from Cairo Secure?
Yeah.
He's a great friend of mine. He's done great with chiropractic. You know, he's just such a great supporter of chiropractic. And, you know, I've been using his malpractice ever since day one. And I remember Stuart coming up, you got extra tickets, and it was like selling. It was just this huge thing. I think we had a couple hundred students in this room, and they were, you know, and they introduced this video that they were doing, and just the slides from it, pretty much. You know, they were just doing it, and then every time they came to town, I was always there. You know, I took my mom to a Renaissance. You know, I mean, it was one of those things where I just wanted everyone to kind of hear this message. You know, it was really cool.
And that's so good to hear, because we actually have quite a few students that listen to the podcast, right? So I just always like to go back and just, if you're listening as a student, get out there and learn as much as you can, right? Yeah, so,
You know, now schools, I mean, hopefully the right schools, you're getting the philosophy, you're getting more of that stuff, but there's some really, you know, you can only teach so many things in the hours that we have allotted with, you know, the mandatory things that have to be taught, right?
Right.
But yeah, it's important. It's important.
Cool. So when you started practice, were you like just rock star right off the bat?
You know, I don't know about a rock star, but, you know, I started my practice and, I was just excited, man. I just wanted to tell the world about chiropractic. You know, I went out and I surveyed about 500-600 homes in my area while they were putting my X-ray room up and doing. I had a 700 square foot office, tiny. I had two adjusting rooms, and one was my office, and then my X-ray room I put a table, so I had three areas to adjust in. I was in this old kind of historical house. And I put an ad out in the local newspaper. I was in Lexington, Massachusetts, about, I don't know, 10 miles outside of Boston. I put an ad out with a boy and a girl, a black and white picture. They're hugging each other, sitting on a curb. And it said, everything you wanted to know about health, but were afraid to ask. And come to Oberstein Chiropractic, you know, and the address, you know.
Yeah.
20 people showed up to that health talk. It was my very first health talk. They even brought a guy in with a wheelchair, and the door, it was a historic room, a house. So the doors were, they had to jimmy him through by turning him sideways in the chair. I mean,
it was crazy. That's like handicap accessible, everything.
Exactly. And my first talk, and I tell you, Don, I thought it was the best talk I ever did. They stood up and clapped.
Really?
Clapped. It was the first one I've ever given, you know, like that, you know, in this new office. And they stood up and they clapped and they left. I didn't know how to close. I didn't know how to like have them fill something out and say, hey, coming in for an exam or do whatever. They left and I'm just sitting in there alone, you know. But, you know, we grew the practice to about, I don't know, 280 to 300 in probably about a year.
Yeah.
You know, year or something like that. And those days, that was like it. You know, you see like, you know, 80 to 100 a day on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and half day on Tuesday kind of thing. That was like the vision, you know, and that was it. And yeah, and then I brought an associate on, and we grew a little bit more, and then I brought an associate on, and he bought it, and then I went to San Diego, you know.
Cool.
But I don't know if I was a rock star. I was just excited to tell the world about chiropractic. You know, that was the bottom line. You know, I kind of, you know, it's my passion, you know. I mean, when you know this, like, you know, there's an old saying that Voltaire said that there's a special place reserved in hell for those who know and do not tell.
Yeah.
And that's driven me, you know, not out of fear, but out of, we got to tell people about this. I mean, this is like, you know, man, there's people out there that are suffering and have no idea about chiropractic. And, you know, our population is growing faster than we're growing chiropractic.
Right.
You know, we're behind the curve. So yeah, we've got to do a lot more to get the word out and let them know. And I was just excited about it. So that's what I did, you know.
Well, I think that's different too, because I know we talked to a lot of new grads or people who just been practice chiropractors for 4 or 5 years. And some of the schools put fear in them, right? So they don't come out excited. They come out kind of scared. Yeah. And so if someone was a little bit scared coming out of school, what would you kind of recommend for them to try to get more into? Because we can be in protection or growth, right? We can't be in both at the same time.
Absolutely. 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 You know what I tell them? I would tell them to go find a chiropractor in their area who's really just rocking it, you know, and go just spend a day with them or take them out for dinner and talk to them. You know, when you go to towns and, you know, like for instance, when we got to San Diego, we just blew it up. I had another, you know, a buddy of mine from Seattle came with me and we built this beautiful clinic and we had two wings, his wing and my wing, separate practices, shared a reception area, shared staff. And it was just unbelievable. And we just exploded that practice. And people would come to us and they'd say, students, you know, or recent grads, should I practice like here? And they say, I go, absolutely, right across the parking lot.
Yeah.
Chiropractors, you know, and they go, well, that's interesting. I was just over the last three people I saw the last couple of days said, no, San Diego's oversaturated. And da, da, da. I said, dude, look at all the people out there. I mean, you know, get out of here. What population are we touching? My gosh, you know, you can go right next door, you know? I mean, so what I'd recommend to these students, if they go to people and say it's oversaturated, you know, it's not oversaturated.
No.
You know, those are the people that aren't seeing anybody. You don't want to take counsel from them. You know,
right.
you want to go take counsel from the gal or the guy that says, oh my gosh, this is just coming. I need more chiropractors. You know, what we did in our practice in San Diego, because we didn't have a lot of strong principal chiropractors in San Diego. You know, they were coming from schools in Southern Cal and there were some, but you know, it just wasn't so, we just wanted to seed the area. So we started bringing in associate doctors. You could only stay a year. Man, we worked them to the bone, you know, and only a year, you know, in the first 4 months, you know, we put a lot into them. And the next 4 months, it was kind of even. The last 4 months, we won, you know, but we'd leave them on a Thursday afternoon and alone, just practicing. And, you know, and they'd be seeing 100 people in an afternoon or 150 people. I don't know, whatever. We were seeing over 1,000 visits a week in those days. And you know, it was just, you know, we trained them. And then we'd say, you're done, Don. Your 12 months are over. You had to go and replace yourself. You had to bring us someone to replace yourself and you'd go start a practice. You know, we'd support them. We didn't pay, but we'd support them and start in the practice, you know, and they had all the resources. We seeded, I don't know, maybe 11 to 13 practices in San Diego. So we have all these great practices now that are still there. You know, I can name the people, you know, from David and Lorraine Melendez and they're in Carlsbad. Now their two sons are chiropractors in practice with their two wives are in their office. Right. You know, and Carrie Kaiser over in Coronado and I can go on and on and on with all these chiropractors and, you know, and we created a really strong community down in San Diego with it, you know, and it wasn't just me, but it was like, you know, we just kind of lit the fire and, you know, lit the match and then it just kind of took off.
Now at the very beginning of practice, were you going regularly to seminars? Cause I kind of want to get into that transition to when you started speaking.
You know what? When I was in Boston, I did a few seminars, but I was just, man, I was raised on DE.
Yeah.
Dynamic Essentials. I mean, that was my, you know, that Dr. Sid Williams, you know, and it was all about giving, doing, loving, and serving. It was about lasting purpose. And I just had that emblazoned and tattooed, you know, on my psyche, you know, and I just knew, you know, that if I just went out and I put others before me, you know, if I really just gave, you know, for the sake of giving and serve for the sake of serving, love for the sake of loving and do for the sake of expecting nothing in return, I knew that I would be successful if I did that. If I didn't think about Ron,
right,
but thought about others, you know, and I knew I'd be taken care of, and that's what I did. And then I did some practice, man. I mean, listen, my checkbook was growing, and I remember I was talking to Brian Long on the phone, that mentor in Tacoma. He said, "Ron, how you doing?" I go, "I'm doing great, man. I've seen a lot of people." And yada yada. He goes, "You good? How you doing financially?" I go, "Great." You know, he goes, "Good. Are you investing your money?" I go, "What do you mean investing?" He goes, "Well, where's your money?" And I said, "It's right here in my checkbook." That was watching it grow. I went from 10,000 to 30 to 50. I had over $100,000 sitting in my checkbook, you know, my first after a year in practice, you know. Yeah. And he goes, "Why is it in your checkbook?" I go, "Where is it?" He goes, "You have an accountant?" I go, "No, man. What do I need an accountant for?" I was in my bubble, Don. I just wanted to serve, you know.
Totally.
So he got me going on the business side of it. He said, "Go get this." He sent me to a practice management thing, which was great. But my practice started going down because I didn't want the mechanics of it. You know, when you coach with me, you know, you know, there's either the classical stuff, which is more the mechanical stuff, you know, or the quantum stuff, right? And I was more in the quantum, you know. I was more about, you know, just let me serve people. And I had my systems guys, but I got some good systems down, and you know, it's balance for both. But it was just a little bit too mechanical for me, you know. And then I left that, and I just kind of got my business stuff down, continue going to DE back in those days with Dr. Williams. And, you know, my daughter Lauren, she's my oldest, you know, she's a chiropractor and practices with her husband in Denver. They just left San Diego and they went to Denver. And Lauren, from the time she was born, didn't miss a DE for like her first 4 to 6 years of life.
Wow. You
know, just didn't miss a DE. Like, we just didn't miss. It was just one of those things that I just went to because I just needed to be rekindled. You know, it's kind of like every time you go, the husk just kind of falls off, you know, and DE's refired back up again. So I'd recommend people going to DE, Steve Judson and Drew and Brian Lieberman, Drew Henderson, and Didi Umber. You know, they're just doing a great job, but there's a lot of good things that people can go to. New Beginnings up in New Jersey with Jim Dubell and that gang, you know. There's just some really good places that you can go to just get the husk off. Just go and be, you know, and just let it just kind of come in, you know. Mm-hmm. And then there's good people out there doing management too. You know, it's nothing, it's no negative. Just find the place that nourishes you, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to look for that silver bullet, there's no silver bullet.
Yeah, there's no one coming to save you.
Wow, man, it's just, you know, it's just not Santa Claus, you know. We can wait a long time to wait for Santa Claus. The truth is that, you know, it's in you. Mm-hmm. And if you apply the chiropractic principle from above down, inside out, it's in you.
Yes.
You just got to find that whatever it is, whoever it is or whatever place it is that sparks that something within you that's already there. But if you're not, you know, if the person's not reading, like the new grads, start reading the green books, you know, take the bigness of the fellow within and read that chapter to chapter to chapter, you know, and start with that something, of course, the first chapter. And if you can start taking that in and building that, and then with success principles, you know, there's a great book called The University of Success, you know, University of Success, written by Og Mandino.
Yeah.
And he didn't write it, but he just took chapters of all these great people. I was just with Brian Tracy a couple weeks ago. You know, lives in San Diego. He was just over at Cairo Sushi. I spoke there. And you know, we're getting him under care in our office after this week when my kids get back into practice next week, you know, after they get married, you know, and get him. He's under care, but we're going to get him under regular weekly chiropractic care or whatever he needs to get subluxations corrected, power turned on, you know, and have his nervous system function at the highest potential. But those are the kind of people that are out there that have these everlasting principles, these, you know, time-proven principles of success. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's really what it is. It, you know, the rest of it, you'll find great stuff. But, you know, the world can beat you down. You know, when you know what we know.
Yep.
And you get out, you leave college, you know, you leave chiropractic college and you're in that bubble. Well, at least when I went to school, I had this bubble of, man, yeah. It was phenomenal, you know, man, you know,
it's chiropractic utopia. Yeah.
Exactly. I didn't want to leave, you know. It's like, if you go out, and I was in Boston, I'm all alone, you know, it's like the world can kind of beat you down. You know, you kind of, you know, they don't think like you think, you know, it's like, what are you talking about, man? You know, you're not getting, so anyways, you know, it's just good to go find those places to go to. The way, you know, perfect example, man, you come and you just kind of unload, you just be, you know, and let that husk fall off that kind of builds up, you know, and then that's what it's about. You know, and get to that pure self where you're ready to just go out and just turn people on, you know, and then there's people like Jeannie Ohm, you know, Jeannie graduated the same year I did, you know, she graduated from Penn State, you know, up in outside of Philadelphia, in Philadelphia, Reggie started that. And, you know, you got these people out there that have been around for a long time and not that we're old timers by any means, because I don't consider us old yet, but, you know, they just have the vision and the wisdom and the, you know, Fred Schofield, you know, same thing. And you know, those are the people you just got to reach out to and go talk to. And you know, I'm going to put together something, I think, at the college, just from this conversation innately, right?
Yeah.
When we pulled these people together, been around for a long time, just to share that wisdom, not about selling anything, not about, you know, just to share that wisdom, you know, and because there's a lot of wisdom that you kind of inherently kind of pick up, you know, over 35, 40 years of practice, you know? And the truth is, it's not difficult. It really gets simpler. You know, it just really gets simpler.
So at first you're like gathering and then later you start shedding, right? Until you get down to what's awesome for you, right? And that's the authentic being of yourself.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what Sid called the dynamic essential. That's what dynamic, it's that dynamic essential, right? Yeah. You don't need all this food. You just need the essentials, right? That'll be dynamic within you. And when you can, like you just said, Don, boil it down, get it down to that stuff. Boom. Yeah. And that's what we did when I was coaching. You know, it was the same thing. You know, I didn't have a formula. I didn't have a cookbook. You know, you coached with me.
Yeah.
It was about getting you or the person connected, you know. And when they got connected, boom, things just kind of took off, you know. And when it took off, then we could show you good. Well, this is, you know, this is how you handle the growth and handle the volume, more the
logistics around it.
Yeah, stuff, right? Classical stuff, you know, I call it classical. But you don't need the classic without the quantum, you know. The quantum is what's going to grow our practice, you know. I could give you the same ad as someone else on the other side of town of Edmonton. Yeah. Same exact ad. Let's just say we'll make that up. You know, you put it wherever, on the internet or TV or newspaper, doesn't matter. And you can draw 30 people in and that other person can lose five, you know. Five people leave their practice. They don't get anyone from the ad, you know. It's just where we're at internally, right? That above, down, inside, out, what we're emanating, what we're going to bring in, right?
Right.
And that's really what it comes down to. So you want to maximize your potential in anything you do, get yourself right on the inside.
And that's so important because so many chiropractors out there are always looking for what can I do? What's the one thing I could do that's going to make the biggest difference, when it depends who you are, right? And where your dynamic essential is, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And isn't that true with patients?
Yeah.
They're coming in looking for what? That one thing, like, what can you do for me? What's not what I could do for you.
Yeah.
It's already in you. What we're going to do is release whatever's impeding that, right? That's interfering with that. That's going to allow your body to heal. But I don't do the healing.
Yeah.
You know, you healing, you know, I just do the dealing, right? I don't take no credit. I don't take no blame. You know, what I do is, you know, we just got to get your nervous system functioning to the optimal potential, you know, so that you can then what? You can exhibit and express yourself. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
So we can't be out there preaching above, down, inside, out to our patients without living that, you know, from the inside. You know?
Totally. I always say we want to unleash your potential on this planet.
That's it, baby. That's it.
So I could go on for it because there's a couple of key things that I want to make sure we hit before we get through. But I wanted to first start off, like, when you started coaching, like, how did that whole thing start? Like, and speaking, especially in San Diego with the Power Zone.
Okay. Well, here's what happened. I was speaking, you know, I was speaking at DE, I was speaking at different programs. Wes Trout, if you don't know that name, Wes was he passed away. But Wes was from Pennsylvania, called Living Principles. Great program. And they'd come out to California, I'd speak for them. And I'd speak at different places. And I don't know, man, I truthfully, what happened was I woke up at 3:30 in the morning, just boom. I just woke up, you know, and I remember it right now like it was last night, you know. And I went to the bathroom, you know, I went into the master suite bathroom. I sat on the toilet. I got a pad of paper and I had this one sheet of paper. I put a pad underneath it. I had a pen and I just started writing down all this stuff. And it was the Power Zone.
Wow.
And it became it was just flowing and I was just writing it down. And then, I don't know, maybe an hour later, I went back to bed And I woke up in the morning. Mary said, what, I saw you got up. And I just showed her this piece of paper and scribbles all over it, you know, and I just looked at it. And it was just there. It was just our innate was just telling me, dude, you know, just this is what you need to do next, you know, and we need to grow bigger practices. We got to get people, you know, moving in the right direction kind of thing, right? And so that's what I did. And I took all that stuff over to a gal, a chiropractor that I know, his wife, and she was kind of like doing like designing work at the time and stuff. I said, this is what I wrote down. Can you design something for me around this, you know? And so she took it, read it, and designed something around it. And I just started, man. I just didn't know what I was doing, you know? And I didn't. I just was working from what I wrote. I was working from that paper.
Yeah, you know? And that's so important too, because like a lot of people want to figure everything out before they start. And it's funny, we have a group, the chiropractors we work too, we're with, and we're like, you got to just do it. And if it doesn't work, you can switch it. But you don't know until you do it.
That's it. I didn't, Don, there was no plan. I just started it and I put it out there and I said, okay, I got to do seminars. So I just picked three places, you know, it was LA, San Francisco and Seattle. I didn't want to travel too far. My kids were young, you know, that kind of thing. And I didn't want to, you know, and I was still practicing full time, you know?
Yeah.
And so I just started it. It just grew and people started, you know, the old field of dreams, you know, build it and they will come, and people started coming. It just kind of developed. And I just started coaching people and I was doing weekly, just me. No other coaches, no company. I hired one person to kind of run my stuff after a while, you know?
Yeah.
And just me, I was up at, you know, Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. I was doing calls to the East Coast and to the West Coast. And I don't know what time we talked, but it had to be before like 9 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. And I would do like, you know, 4 or 5 hours, and I just do my coaching calls and I do it for 3 days a week, you know, and then we do seminars and we do those fellowships at my place. So every quarter, right. They come to the office, the coaching doctors and you know, spend a day with them and have a big, you know, feast at my house that night. And, you know, it just grew and grew and grew. I was having people from all over the world start coaching with me and, you know, just kept growing, you know, kept growing. And then 9/11 hit. I got to tell you, I was 9/11 hit. And after 9/11, just the traveling became a nightmare.
Yeah.
You know, so I cut down on the seminars, still coaching, you know, but cut down the seminars and, you know, and then after a while, I just realized that, you know, I got more involved in other things and, you know, and I just, my life was kind of shifting, but I coached for close to 20 years, you know?
That's cool. Before we move to the next one though, I want to talk about the one thing, because this has always been the most impactful thing. And every time I talk to anybody who got coached with you, was the discipline, creating the discipline.
Yeah, that's what it is, man.
Oh, man. That just maybe talk to the listeners a little bit about how we created that discipline, getting up every day. That was very hard, but it was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's the deal. We've already touched on it today. We touched on, it comes from the inside, right? And when you talked about all the people saying, what's the silver bullet? How do I get there? Da, 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 well, that's, you know, da, da. Well, that's all the educated mind, mm-hmm. right? That's our educated, you know, BJ called the educated, that mind that talks all the time that says, da, 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 you can't do this, you can't do that, or money doesn't grow on trees, or all the programs that we've inherited from some of our greatest teachers, you know, our parents and our grandparents and all the people that made these impressions in our mind, right?
Yeah.
And that's not who we are. That's who they were.
Right.
And they got bad impressions from whoever they got those from, right? But that's not who we are innately. You know, innately we got this innate mind that's just, it's limitless. It's limitless. So when I wanted to coach people, I realized that I just needed to get them to break down that barrier. How can I show them what the difference was between that innate mind and that educated mind? And believe me, that educated mind is good. I mean, the guy flying me over here to Bozeman, you know, with Montana from wherever the hell I was, from Las Vegas. I was just at Cairo Sushi 2 weeks ago, you know, or the week and a half ago. You know, I hope he was flying from his educated mind, not his innate mind, you know? But there's a time for your educated, and there's a time for your innate, right? When you want to grow your practice and expand and see, you know, it's your innate. So I just put a discipline together. And I didn't, listen, I got bits and pieces, you know. Fred Schofield, man, you talk about discipline, that guy's disciplined, you know. And I love Fred, you know. And Fred, you know, Fred was doing running and doing things. So I just put this thing together. It was like, you know, that was like, you wake up in the morning and you just do, I had you guys doing, you know, running, right, reading. You know, some positive right afterwards, and then meditating or visualizing, right?
That's before meditation was even cool.
It was Exactly it. Exactly it. But you know, you run because you're you know, you wipe your educated mind out. If I had you come over here and out my meadow over here, my pasture over here where we're getting married, and I had you run acre to acre, wind sprints like that, you know, man, I tell you what, after 2 minutes, 3 minutes, would you be thinking about all the problems you had and all the hell no? You'd be what?
Thinking about oxygen, sucking, baby.
Yeah, fucking air, man. Exactly it. So it's funny how physical exercise wipes out the educated mind.
Yep.
So we did that first, right, Don? Remember that?
Yep.
And then after that, then you read and you put something positive in, right? So now you're imprinting in the positive stuff. And then once you put the positive stuff in, then we visualize and bingo. So, you know, 30 days, baby, right? That's what we did.
And we were set 30 minutes. No, it was 20 minutes, 20 minutes, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was an hour. So just for everybody, we had to get up at 4 in the morning.
4:30. Yeah.
Which is funny. That's the same time you got up to write all your stuff.
Exactly. Well, yeah, but that the reason why we did 4:30, it wasn't that, because BJ got up early in the morning. That's when his educated mind was, you know, he'd write all his books like at, you know, 3:30, 4:30 in the morning, you know, because that was, your mind is clear, right?
Right.
You know? Yeah. Right. But your educated will do what?
Block
stop,
it.
Stop you from, yeah. The alarm clock, shut the alarm clock off. Man, dude, I got rid of my alarm clocks back in 1985. I was a slave to my alarm clock. I'd hit the snooze.
Yep.
And I'd sit there and wait for it to go off again. I'd hit the snooze. I'd do that. It was a routine. I said, this is ridiculous. This thing's running my life. It was running my life. I threw it out the window, and I've never had an alarm clock since. Never. If I say I'm going to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, I'll get up at 6. I'm going to wake up at 4:30, I'd get up at 4:30. I program my mind to do that. You know, I don't want to rely on some external source that I can then blame if I don't get up. You know, like I think.
So 100%. Anyway, dude,
remember the getting up, the discipline. How many people, like, their alarm clock didn't go off, or they whatever, their mind told them, well, I'll do it at 5:30. It's okay. You know, that's their educated, right?
I know.
Changing the rules, right? And that they got to really see how the educated runs them.
Yeah.
Waking up going, oh, well, Oberstein didn't say I had to do it on the, you know, on the weekends, did he? You know, or, you know, they just change it, you know, that kind of, you know, it's like crazy, you know, and I'd say to them, oh, that's cool. And they'd say to me, I'd go, that's cool. So let me ask you a question. So you just change rules all the time. Is that, you do that with your life, everything else? They go, well, yeah, I do. I had a guy go 29 days. Cause we'll tell the viewers, if you went, if you went, whatever the day 15, you missed a day, you're back to day one. Remember
start
that?
Start over again. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And I had a guy go 29 days and he missed.
No way.
Yeah, he missed. He missed his 30 a day. And I said to him, so let me ask you a question. I go, that's cool. Because listen, there's lessons in everything. It's not a, you didn't lose. There's a lesson, right?
Yeah.
So I said, let's talk about this. I said, so do you ever get like close to your goals and just kind of stop? Never. He stopped. It was like 30 seconds, Don. That's a long time to be silent on a phone call, right?
Yeah.
And he goes, I do it with everything in my life.
Wow.
I went, there you go. I said, that's what your educator does. I said, it stops you from whatever it is that you want. So you got to break through that, because that's between you and your educated, not me and your educated.
Yep.
He went 30 days straight. His practice doubled in 30 days because he found what was holding him back.
Yeah.
He just found it, man. And it was his practice just took off. You know, I had guys go over their bicycle handles on their exercise portion, you know, break their collarbones and do all this stuff, you know. And I was like, you know, it's like, you know, this kind of stuff happens. It's just sabotaging, right? We know there's no accidents, right?
Yeah.
You know, they're all on purposes, you know. And so, but they really got to find the control of what's controlling them. And then once we got past that point, it's like, good, here's what's next. And it was all about finding your inner, you know, getting to the above, down, inside out. That's what
100%. So I want to put a challenge out to all those listeners, because we have like thousands of listeners that will be listening to this podcast. Try it 30 days straight, 4:30, 2020. And you'll remember it for the rest of your life like I did.
Yeah, but call Don. Don't call me. call Don.
Ron's busy, and we'll talk about what he's up to now. So 20 years of coaching, in practice, rocking it out. I know you got involved with Life West first, right, as far on the board?
Yeah. So back in 1990-something, Sid Williams called me up, and Dr. Sid asked me if he said, boy, I want you on the board at Life, you know, I want you up at Jerry's College, up, you know, Jerry Klum. So
yeah.
Okay. So, you know, I called Jerry. I said, what do you do? He goes, come on up. So I went up because he knew about it. And I got on the board, you know, and so I was on the board for about 26 years. And then now I'm in the presidency, and And I got to tell you, I stepped into the presidency. It was very, we're going through a renewal, and the board needed an interim president while they were going to do a presidential search. Brian Kelly was a previous president, right?
Yeah.
Did a great job. Brian did just a phenomenal job. He was there for 6 years. And I don't know if you know this, but the average life of a chiropractic, actually almost every president, a college president,
yeah,
the average life is 6 years. That's like the average.
Really?
Oh, yeah, wow. Yeah. Because people change and new energy comes in and whatever.
Yeah.
And Brian did a phenomenal job. You know, he's just phenomenal. And the board just saw a need for a change. And so, but they had to do a search. And so they asked if I'd go up for, you know, and do and be an interim. We're going through a WASC accreditation thing. And I said, absolutely. So I talked to my wife, of course. And at the time I had my daughter was in the practice. We had an associate in the practice. My daughter's husband was in the practice. So I had the opportunity to do that, you know? And I said, I'll do it, but only for 6 months. That's it.
Yeah.
6 months, I'm gone. I want to be with my family in San Diego. And, you know, my daughter might've been pregnant at the time. So I just want to be around for the birth and all that kind of stuff. So anyways, Don, I got to tell you, I fell in love with it. Fell in love with it. You know, I always thought I'd die with my boots on over a table, you know, adjusting. It's just me. I mean, I've been practicing since 1981. So where are we now? We're in 2018, 19, 20. So what am I? I'm 37. I'm going to be 38 years in practice this October. But I always thought that I'd die with my boots on, you know, and I got to the college and something just clicked for me, you know, one of those innate things again, that man, that the students and been able to be able to mold and be able to be part of the process that our faculty does, you know, that does such a beautiful job to be able to just develop these young minds into the doctors that they're going to be, the chiropractors to go change the world, you know. And my mission has always been, how can we get the world under chiropractic care? It's really what we've been about. We used to fly plane loads of people, students up to Life West, you know, before they were doing the champion weekends and things like that. They had a day called like an Overstein day, whatever, where we would, and that wasn't us, but other chiropractors in the area. We do a student evening in my office. Right.
Right.
And then all the students that came down, I'd have chiropractors send their students, prospective, you know, students, you know, that kind of thing. And then we'd pay for them to fly up, you know, and, we'd fly them up before Southwest Airlines. There was Pacific, Pacific Southern Airlines, whatever it was, I don't know. So we'd send them up on PSA and they'd go up. And to date, down to the last count I heard, we'd send over 300 students to Life West. And but it's not about the numbers. It's about, we got to get the message out. You know, we need more chiropractors. And so when I got into this position, it was like, whoa, you know, because when Mary and I were in practice, you know, we were rocking it, you know, and we said, well, how can we make a bigger impact? We realized it couldn't just be us. We need more chiropractors, right?
Yep.
You know, that's when we bring people in for, you know, she was our first, actually, you know, our first associate that came in, you know, and I want to tell you about that year program.
Yeah.
And then it was just kind of like, how can we do it? And it was really about, we need more chiropractors. So that's when we started doing that. And then when I got to the college, I just saw, wow, this is just, it's even bigger, you know? And that's kind of why I did. I didn't take the position because I had to.
Yeah.
I didn't take the position because, you know, I took it because the universe, you know, was speaking, saying, this is where you need to be. Mary and I were ready to, you know, transition the practice over to one of my daughters. You know, we have a bunch of nonprofits right now around the country. You know, we're going to settle into the nonprofit world and come up to Montana. We just bought the home up here and be here for 4 or 5 months and in San Diego and just kind of, you know, stay in chiropractic, of course, but, you know, just kind of dial it back a little bit and chill, just be with our, you know, our kids and grandkids and that kind of thing. And, you know, the universe just spoke differently and it said, hey, this is where you need to be next. And Mary knew it. And, you know, we've been making it work. And, you know, she's still in San Diego and I'm in the Bay Area. I travel a lot, but we catch up with each other every weekend or every 2 weekends, you know, that kind of thing. And
we get
time together and we're just doing our thing.
That's good. So what's new at Life West?
Oh God, we got so many cool things. Oh man. What's new? You know what? I got to tell you, and I really want to just kind of give a shout out to our faculty.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got phenomenal faculty at Life West who care so much about our students and care so much about chiropractic. You know, it's just incredible, you know, and our staff that are there that work hard and our administration, you know, we are, you know, lasting purpose is our thing. You know, yeah. It's about giving, doing, loving, and serving. And we've got such great people that are there. It's just, it's incredible. Such a phenomenal school. And you know, when I got there, Don, I looked at it, and not just LifeWest, this is all colleges. I looked at the thread of I'll tell you what's new. I'll tell you one thing. There's a ton new, but yeah, one thing. I looked at the thread of what's going on in chiropractic education. Yeah. And that thread is that, you know, these kids, you get into school, you get your first 3 years. Let's say it's a 4-year course. Doesn't matter how quickly you do it, but it's a 4-year course. You know, your first 3 years are pretty much, you know, sciences. And then you get in the student clinic. And that last year, you kind of get an outpatient clinic, you know. Yeah. And you got that last year of outpatient clinic. And, you know, and I looked at this and I saw, well, and that last year, you're also doing part twos, threes, fours. You know, if you're in the States, PTs, you know, that kind of thing for us here. Canadians, you know, they're doing their they're doing all their board exams. That last year, you got to get your visits, you know, whatever your visits are that you need to get out of clinic. You still got classes, you know, yeah. You're doing, you know, four boards, you know, two, three, fours and PTs. And I looked at that and I said, my God, these kids are getting, it's like, I call them kids, but they aren't. They're adults. You know, they're getting bombarded. You know, it's like, this doesn't feel right. And they're all burned out. Mm-hmm. We wonder why they're just beat up, you know, like I didn't go through that. So I just said, you know what, we got to change this thread here. We'll keep the same courses, but we got to change. And the other thing I thought about was this, you know, if you're going to be a plumber and it's a 3-year course, they better give you that wrench. If that's going to be your bread and butter, they better give that to you the day you get in there.
No doubt.
You sleep with that wrench. You know, I mean, you got to become intimate with that. Well, same thing with chiropractic. So yeah. We're changing it, man. We did this thing called Bridging the Gap. And my faculty and administration did such a phenomenal job with this. So it looks like it started in the fall, all the way it's looking right now, which is cool. When you come into LifeWest, your first quarter in school is going to be just, you know, you get in the student clinic and you get moving, you know, kind of do your thing. Your second quarter, you're an outpatient clinic. Cool. You start off right away, man. You're an outpatient clinic. You're watching. You do rounds and radiology and rounds, whatever it's going to look like. And we're one of the only colleges with an MRI center right on our campus. You know, upright MRI.
Nice.
You'll be in there. You'll be doing different sections. You know, whatever it is, you'll still have your classes, but your classes are going to feed into what you're doing in the clinical experience, right? So you'll have HIPAA and all this stuff, and you know, a third quarter, you know, you'll be taking notes for senior interns. Fourth quarter, you'll be doing exams. So meanwhile, you're having all that being taught to you as you move along, right?
Right.
That kind of thing. You know, fourth quarter doing reciprocal maybe with another student. Fifth quarter being in student clinic now, right?
Yeah.
Fifth, sixth, and seventh, right? While you're getting more stuff in there. And then eighth quarter, you go into outpatient. So Now you got 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. You got 7, almost just shy of 2 years of outpatient, right? So now you've been in the clinic and everything that's been going on, you've been learning along the way. It's set up.
And you're practicing too.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. So your thread is right there. So you learn orthopedics, you're using them in the clinic, you know, that kind of thing. So you didn't use them, you learn them in fourth quarter. And then, you know, when you get to 10th quarter, you got to relearn them kind of thing. It's going to be right there, you know, and it's not just LifeWest. It's, you know, it's just, there's a lot to teach.
But
I got to tell you, Don, I'm not an academic, you know, I don't come from academics. You know that, you know, and I don't feel a chiropractic president has to. I feel that, you know, chiropractic president needs to be able to go out and share a vision and rally people around the college and be able to grow a college and, you know, and do that with everything else out with the people that are out there. And yet academics, we have great academic people at the college, right? They're great. I just looked at it and said, you know, from a clinical standpoint, knowing what it's like to be out there and coaching people for years and bringing associates into our practice and interns into our practice. I just looked at it and said, dude, I want to, you know, I want them sleeping, you know, with that wrench. You know, with that spine from the very beginning. So that's what we're doing. That's what's happening. That's going to be happening in the fall that we call it bridging the gap between the clinical and the academics. And I'm real excited. And then someone sends me a video. One of my administrators sent me a video after we started putting this together from the University of Michigan. And she didn't even know it was my alma mater. That's where I bleed maize and blue, you know, kind of deal. Michigan, go blue. But I got to tell you, Don, it was crazy because what they're doing in their medical school is exactly what we're putting at Life.
No way. That's cool.
Exactly. I mean, they said, we don't want to wait. We want them in clinic right away. And they should be in these, you know, all the, so that's what we're doing. Plus what we're doing right now, our 14th quarter, they can do online. So they can go out and do a preceptorship now in our 14th quarter. They can work in your office and work in, you know, wherever, anywhere around the world. And I'm going to gear it. We're building it right now to get 13th and 14th. So their last 6 months, we kick them out. They're out there now and they're doing their stuff. And we're opening the clinic up in India. So yeah, you know that we've been busy in India. You know, yeah. we do an outreach there. We see, I don't know, 10,000 to 11,000 people in 3 days there. You know, we take 25 students and 25 doctors from around the world join us, and we have this beautiful mission trip that we're part of. It's not our trip per se. We're yeah. part of a group that does this, and so we have our first in January of 2019. I have a clinic available to me with digital X-ray and all kinds of stuff, but strictly available for us for Life West. So we're going to set up a clinic there sometime in 2019, so we can send our students there for their 13th quarter or 14th quarter, whatever it is, right? Their last
wow.
quarter.
Yeah.
And yeah, we'll have a permanent doc there to be over them. And, you know, they'll be taking X-rays while we're sleeping here in America or in Canada. And yeah. by the time they wake up, you know, when they wake up the next morning, our radiologist will have already read it.
Chiropractic.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's really exciting. And I just had the prime ministers from, I just visited the prime minister, the ministers of health, I'm sorry, from Fiji and Tonga. Saw them maybe about 2 months ago, whatever, 2.5 months ago, I was over there. And so, in fact, about a month ago, the Minister of Health from Tonga was at the college. And so we're going to do mission trips over there, set clinics up over there. And ideally what we're going to do is then get them over to start spreading chiropractic there. We'll have a, you know, our goal is to bring over Indian, you know, from India,
yep.
but also set a school up there at some point, you know, and have a school going there. And then we've got a group of graduates in China that, you know, there's all kinds of things that are going on. We're going to be in Africa and different, we're picking out like 6 places around the world, but you know, it's not so much to be around the world. It's because our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity.
100%.
Humanity isn't just in Edmonton. It's not just in San Diego. It's not just in Hayward. It's not just in the towns where our listeners are. It's everywhere, you know, and that's what we want to do and get that out there so we can reach every woman, child, and man can have access to chiropractic and make sure they have a clear functioning nervous system by having their subluxations, you know, detected and corrected, right, and maintained.
Yeah, you know. And that's so important. So all the listeners out there, because we really want to support our Vitalistic schools, because the best way to grow Vitalistic chiropractic the way we love it is to pump people into those schools. So send all your people, Life West, baby.
Yeah, well, Don, listen, you and Brandy, I mean, you guys are tremendous, because I know you've sent a ton of people to the college. And, you know, it's crazy. You know, you and I and hopefully our listeners have a mission of getting chiropractic to the world. Mm-hmm. The truth is we cannot do that right now.
Yep.
We don't have chiropractors. You know, yeah. We've got 75,000-80,000 chiropractors throughout the world. Let's say 75,000 chiropractors right now. And if they were averaging, all of them, averaging 100 people right now in their practice, right? Not 100 visits a week, 100 people, right?
Yeah.
You know, which is probably high, you know, because we got some are seeing a lot and some aren't, but it's done an average, right? That'd be 7.5 million people being affected by chiropractic right now. Got it?
Yeah.
If we had that. So if we had all 75,000 chiropractors around the world that 100 patients are taken care of right now, that, yeah. you know, maybe 3 times a week, maybe 1 time a week, whatever it is, on average, right? That's 7.5 million people being taken care of right now. And we've got how many billions on the planet right now?
Yeah, it's not even close.
6 billion, 7.7 billion. So guess what? We're taking less than 1% of our population is under chiropractic care, and it's not more advertising, it's not more internet, it's not more that stuff. I know we can maximize what we're doing in our towns, but we need more chiropractors.
100%.
And we need more chiropractors in everybody's town, right?
Yeah.
We need more chiropractors in San Diego. We need more chiropractors in Edmonton, because, yeah. because there's no lack of McDonald's or Burger Kings or Hilton or Marriott's. You know, they're all over, right?
You know?
There's no lack of that. You know, we can't think of
that. And that's how they get market share, is by having more of them.
That's it. It's exactly it. It's brand awareness, right? It's
yeah.
what it is. You know, it's what we have to do. So when we can create that brand awareness, you know, we call it cultural authority.
Yeah.
When we create that cultural authority, we got it set. It's just right there. So that's why we need more. So that's why these students, if every chiropractor out there really wanted to see chiropractic growing,
yep.
really, right? You know, and let's just say we had 5,000 Vitalistic chiropractors, salutogenic chiropractors out there. If they sent one student a year, 5,000 new chiropractors, right? Coming from that vein to the Vitalistic colleges. They can't all come to Life West.
Right.
We got other colleges, you know, and they got colleges all over the world. You can look at Barcelona. You can look at New Zealand, right? You know,
yeah.
We got Sherman. We got Life. You know, the schools are all over. You know, but Life. You know, and you know, send them first to LifeWest. We'll farm them out afterwards. just because I'm doing the podcast, right?
Totally.
but seriously, you know, if we did that, we'd have to grow more schools.
Yeah, which would be a good problem.
And we would. We could have schools the size of, like, you know, the size of University of Michigan if we needed to. Not that big, but we could have schools. You know, listen, that's the kind of stuff we can do. And what we need to do is, you know, the more people we have, you know, the better we're going to save this planet. And, you know, we just can't wait for someone else to do it. You know, it's really what we're about. And then we're going to have market share. It's not going to be this, oh, well, this guy came out on the news and said chiropractic is this.
Or awesome.
What's going on in BC right now, right?
Yeah.
You know, the stuff about that. That would be, they wouldn't even have a chance to even say that. Chiropractic would be taken over everywhere. You know,
it'd just be normalized. Because it's just like now in medicine, if someone, it's in the media, they just go, oh, whatever, they don't take it because they already have cultural authority, right?
So absolutely. Or if Harvard says this or Stanford says this, well,
yeah,
you know what, we want that cultural authority, and we're going to have it. I got my vision is there that we are going to have it. You know, that, you know, we know, we, everybody on this podcast knows the truth about chiropractic. Mm-hmm. we know what chiropractic is about. You know, besides how it can help the sick get well, but how it can keep the well from getting sick and how it can keep people to their optimal potential. We know that.
Yeah.
We know it. You know, we know what it's like from the womb to the tomb. That's what we're doing in our research. All the research that's going to be coming out of LifeWest is all biomarker research. It's all based on biomarkers of the human body showing that our physiology is changing. It's not neck pain and back pain. It's going to be telomeres. It's going to be, you know, cortisol.
Awesome.
It's going to be whatever it's going to be, but it's all going to be about our bodies functioning at a healthier level, because that's what we're about. And you know this. I know this. My kids have never had anything in their body, mm-hmm. you know, never had vaccines, never had anything, you know, that kind of stuff. And they've only had chiropractic care, and, you know, and they weren't eating dirt, you know, we didn't feed them organically, but they didn't have McDonald's when they were growing up, but they had it, you know, maybe later, but yeah. You know, because they saw Super Size Me and they said, then we're not using that tool. But, you know, but it's just interesting. You know, it's just like their nervous systems are so strong, and that's what we want to create throughout the world, you know.
That's awesome. Now, to close out here, I really want to talk about, if anybody out there, if you want to hang out with us and Ron, come to the Wave. So tell us about what's going on with the Wave, and are you guys sold out yet, or is there still room? Can people still register?
Enlarged our facility. We moved our facility. We've been over at the Wave started in Oakland at the Marriott Hotel.
I've been everyone except for one.
Okay, that was the very first one, Don. And yep. then we were over at the Hyatt Burlingame, right?
Yep.
Over in San Francisco Airport, right? And we just outgrew it. And so now we're back at the Marriott. We've got an auditorium, the convention center there that we can fit. I mean, we're gonna rock it. And I want to tell everyone who's listening, be there. I mean, you know, you want to, and yes, we have every excuse, right? That gets back to the educated. Oh, yeah. Well, but I'm thinking, I don't know, it's summer and I got to do that and all this stuff. And oh, I might go on vacation. I don't know yet. And, you know, and all these different things. And I don't know if I want to leave. I only get a few good months, you know, from Edmonton, you know, kind of thing, you know, that kind of
summer's deal. Like here for 2 months. Yeah,
exactly. Like here. And, you know, like here in Montana, you know, well, stop it. It's not what it's about. You know, not about picking and choosing, you know, it's just about, like, if I want to come and get that husk taken off and start to, you know, enrich myself so I can go and fulfill my mission. Yes, you need vacations, and yes, you need balance. We all need that, right? You know, but don't let that educated stuff get in the way. Say, I'm coming, you know, that kind of thing. And I'm telling you, it's going to rock. We've got great speakers. It's on optimal potential. That's what we're talking about, what we've just been talking about today, right?
Yeah.
It's about optimal potential, you know, from Jeannie Ohm and Billy DeMoss and Dan Murphy and all these people. Our keynote speaker is Amy Purdy. Amy is a gal who had both of her legs amputated from some form of meningitis, and had, I believe it was meningitis, had all of her, both of her legs amputated, I think the age of 16 years old. I'm talking about from up at the top of above the knees, you know, like in the thigh area, right? She was like a phenomenal snowboarder and skier, and her life just got turned around, man. And all of a sudden, and yet it did get turned around because she found her life. And she went on to win medals in the Olympics, you know, in the Paralympics. And she speaks all over the world now. And I tried to reach her one day, and she was ringing the bell at the New York Stock Exchange.
That's awesome.
She is, She is unbelievable. So she's our keynote on Saturday, and we've got just phenomenal speakers, and we've got a great program we're doing on diversity and inclusiveness, because that's a huge thing right now. Yeah. And yeah, it's just great. So I want to invite every viewer, get online, go to lifewest.edu, and then you'll see in the front page, it says the Wave, click on it, get in there and start, you know, and come on over and I promise you, you will not be disappointed. You will be around, you know, just thousands of people. You'll have the greatest experience, and you'll see that this is what LifeWest is, but this is what chiropractic is, and this is how we're going to start shedding that husk that's on us so we can go out and serve better and be better, you know, and so we can give, do, love, and serve and really just make a difference in our communities, which then, therefore, will come back to us, right?
Yeah, and like I said, Brandy and I are going, so all our listeners, come out and hang out. We love to hang out with all our Vitalistic Chiropractic peeps.
Yep, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome.
So in closing, I always like to give the last couple of minutes to our guest and just to share any last words of wisdom, because you're all about the quantum. So I know it's going to be about the quantum, because it's called the Underdog Curse for Chiropractors. This is for Vitalistic Chiropractors. And some chiropractors out there might feel like they've been beaten down, or they feel like an underdog, or don't feel like they're worth it. What kind of words of parting wisdom could you leave our guest with?
You know, I think chiropractic has been the underdog. I know where you're coming from, Don. I know why you did it. Your book is phenomenal. Being an underdog isn't the bad thing. Mm-hmm. You know, that's that educated thing. Oh, I'm the underdog. Oh, I'm not supposed to win. Underdogs win all the time. In fact, underdogs know they're going to win, right? Mm-hmm. Joe Namath, go back to 1969 Super Bowl, right? He knew it. He predicted it the night before and said, they were the underdogs. But because underdogs believe in themselves. If you find that something within you, if you don't let it get in your head about, you know, oh, I can't do this and we can do that kind of stuff. Caca, you know, it's all caca. It's all how you see the world. It's how others see you labeled is if you perform their label, then you're going to be it. Then you will be it. Underdog doesn't mean it's bad. In fact, I like being the underdog. You know why? They're never ready for me.
Yeah.
They have no idea what I'm going to do. They have no idea. And then you just go out and you just do it, you know, but everyone's always gunning for number one, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, totally.
They are. Golden State Warriors, everyone's gunning for them and everyone's gunning for, but Golden State Warriors came into this season because they lost the previous year, you know, and they were up 3-0 and they lost 4-3 in the championship to LeBron James. And you know what? They came into the season with an underdog mentality.
Yes.
On purpose.
Yeah.
They wanted that mentality. They didn't want to be the best. They wanted to say, I got to get back to work. Blue collar, baby. You know, that's what it's about, right? Hungry. It's exactly it, man. And that's what it's being, you know, so when we can look at the underdog, we can look at it as a curse, like you said, you know, and we can see where that puts people. It does. It really does put them in that set. Or we can shift that and say, what? You know, I'm going to use this to my advantage.
Totally.
Right? I'm going to get motivated. I'm going to stay quiet. I'm going to work for my innate, not my educated, and be boastful out there and walk around like I'm the biggest thing in the world. I'm going to like just keep myself under the radar, and I'm going to kick butt, and I'm going to do this. Because I got to tell you, Don, biggest practices right now, people don't even know who they are.
Yeah.
Because they're just doing their thing, you know, and there's no ego involved. You know, and I think that underdog, listen, chiropractic, we've won every fight we've been in. Go back to the 50s, right? 40s. Go back to the 20s. You know, we beat the medics back then. Go back to Herbert Ross Reaver. We beat the medics back then. BJ Palmer. We beat the powers that were trying to kick us down. We beat them. And we continue to do that, right? We continue. And you know why? Because we hold ourselves. We rally when we need to, right? Because we've always been a minority. Right. And people can look at minorities as the underdog. Right. But man, I'm telling you, it's like we could use that to our advantage and break out of it. So decide in your heart and take that from above down, inside out, and take it to the out and decide that you're going to make a difference and that you're going to change what's going on. Cause you have the power to do that in your community. We have the power to do that in our, you know, in our state, you know, and make a commitment to chiropractic, not to you. Not to you, something bigger than Ron Oberstein, you know, I'm nothing compared to all of the chiropractors, right? I'm just a piece, right? And then when we talk about the world, I'm just even a smaller piece, a piece that counts, in my own universe, but just a piece, and make a commitment to change the world through chiropractic. Make a commitment to get out in your town and start giving talks. Even though you don't want to, do it. Make a commitment to go meet everyone. Go out and meet everybody, you know, in your area. Make a commitment to do Facebook ads. Put yourself out there. You know what? You know what I tell my faculty? It's okay to make mistakes, but fall forward.
Yes.
Don't have a plan B.
Yeah, totally.
Plan B. Some people have plan B, C, D, E, F to Z, right?
And then they spend their whole life actually making those plans before
they do. That's what they do.
Yeah.
And they fall back, you know, and they got plan B. Don't fall forward. It's okay to make a mistake. Fall forward, you know, but get tough, you know, just know it's like snowboarding, you know, you're going to fall before you get it going. It's okay. Or skiing. It's okay. Fall forward, you know, fall down as you're moving, right? You know, that kind of thing. And that's what we tell our faculty, you know, fall forward. So anyways, if there's a chiropractor out there, you know, just think bigger than yourself. Think outside yourself. Think your community. Think your state or your province, right? Think your country. Then think your continent, right? And then think the world, right? And send one person a year to chiropractic. And you call up Life West. We'll get them to where they have to go. But you think one person, I promise you. You know what? I know, Don, with you guys, with you and Brandy, I'm going to send you back great chiropractors because that's my goal, right?
Yeah.
But I want everybody to just think about just making this world a better place. It's what we have to do. It's why we're here.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. It's so nice to have actually one of my mentors to be able to share them with all our listeners. I really, really appreciated it.
Thanks, Don. You know what? I'm glad we got this together, and it took a little while to get our calendar synced, but I love you and I love Brandy. I love what you're doing with the Underdog, you know, and listen, they get on those disciplines, call Don. Get a hold of Don because he'll get you going to the right place. He's been there. He's done that. He knows what to do. So thank you both for all you're doing, you and Brandy, and your commitment to chiropractic and your commitment to the world, you know, to make this world a better place. And, you know, I know you have a home at Life West. You know you have a home at Life West. So everyone else, all of your viewers, we'll see you guys at the Wave. And I love you and appreciate you.
Well, thank you very much. So everybody out there, there's two main things. I'm going to challenge you. Two commitments. One commitment to yourself. Do the 30-day discipline. And the second is a challenge for chiropractic. Get at least one person a year and refer them to a Vitalistic Chiropractic School. Start with Life West. And then, you know, together we will crush the curse. Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you receive value from this episode, please take some time to rate and review us on iTunes or your favorite place to listen to podcasts. If you know a fellow chiropractor that could benefit from this message, please share it with them. Because it's my goal to provide you with great content, please contact me if you have any questions at drdonmcdonald.com or find me on Facebook. I look forward to hearing from you. So until next time, Dr. Don out.